We are starting a new series right now called Moving to Maturity, all right? And that's our logo for it. The thought on this is that as a believer, there's things that God says should be happening. You know, it's not a place where you just kind of stay put. My sons actually have developed through the years a lawn business, which I know for most people, it's like, well, that's nice. Glad they cut some lawns. But they actually have over 40 lawns, and they actually use professional equipment, which is a whole lot more fun than a regular push mower. So they actually have been able to earn money for college, and so far my four graduates have done it without debt, which is awesome, which is praise. But the interesting thing is, if you have a lawn business, then your yard should look really good. However, ours has not always looked that good. And the sad thing was, we inherited it from a family that had, you know, put in a water sprinkling system and that kind of stuff. And through the years, it kind of went down. Right, Daniel? But my wife has been persistently pursuing growing grass on it. And this year, it's been good up till right now. It's starting to look a little bad, so we're going to have to work on that. But I bring that up because anything that's healthy grows. And sometimes things don't grow because they're just not nurtured. You know, there's no fertilizer. So there's nothing to help it grow. Or there's no water. And the thing about it being a Christian is you totally own that whole nurturing process. You can bring the water because God's given you his word. Okay? But what I want to talk to you about today is in starting it off, is kind of introducing why this is an interesting deal. And I've given you a sheet of paper there because I we'll be covering a lot, so that'll at least kind of let you know where we are. So feel free to draw on it if you want, if that's the way you think and communicate. But also, there's some things on there where you can fill in notes, which hopefully will help tie this together, okay? But the Christian life is a matter of relationship and growth. That's what's on the top there. It's a matter of relationship and growth. And what that means is when you become a believer, I'll tell you what it's not. You're not born into it. If you had parents who were Jewish, you would be Jewish whether you liked it or not. Because that is not only, that's cultural as well as religious. As a believer, I've heard it said, and it's true, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Which, interestingly enough, means that the Christian church actually could go extinct in a generation if it didn't pass on. It's just the way it is. And you see that. I know some of the big news right now is how many people are falling away from their faith, you know, who grew up in a Christian home but never follow Christ. Our prayer, your parents and mine, is that you won't just be a Christian, but you'll be growing to the point where you're not just hanging on to your faith. You are influencing others with your faith. But you weren't born into it. It's not a club. You can't join it. And it's not an activity that you can learn how to develop. Some people look at it that way, like, wow, you know, as a Christian, my job is just to get really smart with all these Bible answers. So when somebody says something, I can, like, say, I trump you with this answer. And like, yeah, duh, man. No, that's not it. And actually, that's kind of an ugly side of Christianity that most people don't like. It's a relationship with the living God, and it's an aspect of who you are. When you become a believer, it defines you, okay? And it's interesting. It begins with a choice and an action, if you're taking notes. It begins with a choice and an action. It's interesting. To become a believer, you have to realize your situation. You need to know, I've got things that I don't like about my life. I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong, and I have no way to pay for it. Yesterday, both Semp and Trinidad mission teams were out at the Hernan Festival talking to people about Jesus. And it was interesting. Bree and I were talking to this couple, and it was probably one of our best talks. And it's just really interesting. The young lady, they were both probably in their mid-20s. They'd already been working. She was trying to be a nurse, and he was not sure what I think he was trying to figure. He was just, actually, he was working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and I don't think that was his last stop, but he's trying to develop. Well, it's interesting. She says, well, she grew up religious, but she kind of bagged it. He had grown up religious and just said, I don't believe there's even a God. So as we talked about it, it was interesting where it went. And the thing that always encourages me is, you know, we kind of think nobody wants to ever talk about God. Well, they were both open, but I think God really sent us to those two because of the girl. Okay? They were living together. I could tell she wasn't, like, she didn't really want to tell us that. We didn't probe for that. She just, you know, I thought they were married. And she said, no, you know, like, you know, dating 8 years. And so I teased him and said, it's about time, you know. And so she said, you're right. And so anyway, but so I'm sure I started a discussion later that was really good. But they both had known about God growing up, but they never went anywhere with it. So knowing about God is not the same as having a relationship with God. When you then see what God's done, that he came to earth, lived a perfect life, died in your place, and you realize what he wants. I knew a lot about God growing up. I never knew what he wanted. Like, what is your deal? How do I get into this thing? And I had always thought, well, I guess I just try my best. I work hard. And then God says, all right, you pass. And then I realized that wasn't a working plan because I wasn't doing very well with that. And it wasn't until I was really seeking that God helped me realize, you know what? It's not what you do. Many conversations we had yesterday at the festival, it was all about what you're doing. And the cool thing is, well, the bad thing is, the bad news of the Bible that we've been training even the kids to go out on the mission field is, when you come to the point to realize that we have no way to take back what we've done, no way to pay for it, then you realize, okay, God, what do I do? And the answer you know makes sense. And the answer is that Jesus, God, who came to earth, died in your place. He paid for it. Here's a radical thing. I told those two. I said, you know what? Your sins have already been paid for. They're like, oh. I said, the only issue is, who are you going to take that payment? Or are you going to say, no, I don't want it? That's the choice we have. And I hope if you've made that choice, you know, what God's promised then is that his Holy Spirit comes in. And that's the reason why we grow. Not because we're working our way to get better, but God says, I'm coming inside. And the promise he gives us, which is really cool in Philippians 1:6, he says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is the one at work in you. You can shut him down, but he is at work in you. Okay? So, John 5:24 is that it describes what happens when you become that become a believer. It says, he who hears my word and believes on him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. At that moment, that's the cool thing, is God doesn't wait. He doesn't play games. I had the privilege. I love doing this. I asked that same couple at the end. I said, there's a verse in the Bible you probably don't think is in there. I said, do you think anyone can know if they're going to go to heaven for sure? And they're like, no, definitely not. I said, well, hey, I want to show this to you. So I take him to 1 John 5:13. And I said, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know. The coolest thing is your God does not play games. He says, if you can know right where you stand right now, if you put your faith in me, you trust in me, not just intellectually, but you transfer that trust. He says, at this moment, you have passed from death to life. Right now, I know that no matter what happens, when I die, I'll be with God forever. Not because I'm any better, but because God paid for it, and I took that, and it's mine. So when God sees me, he sees that payment. Do you realize how many people don't know that? Even as believers, they don't know that. They're like, oh, I hope I make it. It's like, done. Jesus said, finished. And that's what God wants for you, and that's what God wants us to help others know. But Ephesians 2:8-9, you know, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that it's not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Have you taken that gift? If you have, it's an awesome thing, and you are a believer. Okay? So, your role in this whole thing is that you need to be active, not passive. Now, this should be up if you guys would move it forward. We're talking about the word today. I mentioned that verse. Keep going. Okay. Notice here, 2 Peter 1. He's talking in 2 Peter about really how do you grow, and he starts out by saying, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything for life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who's called us by his glory and excellence. For by these he's granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. In other words, God says, I've given you everything you need to grow. I want you to have my nature. I want you to be Christ-like. But this is what he says. Okay, this is the next verse. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence, does that describe the way you're approaching your Christian life? Are you with all diligence in your faith, supply or provide, bring to the table moral excellence? So God says the very first job you have when you become a believer is not to go learn every answer. He says right now, with the little you know, Live it. As a brand new believer, I knew that my four-letter word vocabulary was not the right way to go. Somehow I just figured that out. And God started changing my mouth. I also knew that my relationship with my girlfriend was not right. And I was like, I want to change. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like what I'm doing. So God says, that's where you start. If we would live up to what we know, we'd be busy for a while. We don't even need to learn a whole lot more. We just need to live up to what we know. Students, you have one major command that God has never taken back and never changed. He says, honor and obey your parents. It's not complicated, but it is hard. Because it means you have to deal with your will. How are you going to structure that? If God is really in charge or not. If you can trust him, even when your parents are wrong. That's where your faith starts growing. So, if you want to start moving, he says, supply, bring it to the table. Moral excellence. And your moral excellence, knowledge. Because when you struggle trying to do it, you're going to go, how do I do it? And God says, well, this is how you do it. And your knowledge, self-control. He says, okay, now I know how to do it. Now I've got to tell myself, okay, this is how I do it. And then you got to do that over a time, which is called perseverance. And then your perseverance, godliness, is what he's trying to build into you. And godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. In other words, God says, ultimately, he's going to work through your selfish heart to come to the point where you love people the way he wants you to love people. But he's got to deal with the junk that's in here. So that's how you move forward. The Christian life is described in the terms of human growth. You're born again. And then as infants, 1 Peter says, you desire the pure milk of the word that God says helps you grow. Young, when you're youths, it says that you now start learning it well enough that you're able to live it out. And then young men, I've mentioned this before. 1 John talks about, I write to you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. In other words, you're no longer just dabbling with simple truths. You are really applying it and you're winning. That's what God wants. The problem is, Hebrews 5 should be the next. Keep going. Go back. There we go. Sorry. Notice what it says here. This is the problem. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Next one. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. You know what your greatest job right now is? You know what's flat out wrong. But we live in a world that has a lot of gray, don't we? It's really hard to know. How can a good tool, like a phone, become one of the major stumbling blocks in your life? Well, you're going to have to distinguish, well, what does that mean? Do I just throw away the phone? How do I deal with this thing? When does it become evil? How do I control it and not let it control me? It says you take that thought and say, okay, God, what do you say? And you go to the Word of God, and God says, okay, this is how you do it. The scary thing is, many Christians grow older, but they never grow up as believers. And my challenge to you is, you know, really, those who are fed by milk are babies. And the bottom line is, the deal is, mom's already digested the food, so they get the benefit. Most Christians stay at that level. They will let a teacher who's digested it tell them, and that's all they hear. That's all they've got. You need to move on if you're going to keep growing. And that's what our whole desire is. So in this series, we're going to look at the key issues involved with you growing as a believer. We're going to ask you to evaluate and measure where you're at, because you need to know where you're at. And then we're going to give you a path to say, if you want to move forward, that's where you would go with that. Okay? Go ahead and flip the slide. This is an illustration that I learned back when I was in college by a group called the Navigators. It's called the wheel illustration for obvious reasons. Looks like a wheel. But I want you to notice some things about this, okay? It's got some core things going on here. The center is who or what? Christ, okay? That's the hub. What is the role of a hub? Well, my axle on my car is where it gets the power. Everything outside of that just does whatever that hub tells it. So Christ is the center. He is the power in our life. He's the one that will bring about change. Then notice there's four spokes. There's two that go vertically, okay? And that describes our relationship with God. And you'll notice it is two-way. One is, as we pray to God, that's where we talk to Him. That's a real big deal in our Christian life. The second is where He talks to us, and that's the Word of God. So on a normal relationship, you'd have a conversation that God says, that's how it happens. I'll speak to you in my word predominantly, and you'll talk to me in prayer. That's how we have an ongoing relationship. But then there's the horizontal level. He's designed us in a way that we are relational. So He says we should, be communicating that way too. Well, one way that we communicate is to believers. That's why we're here. This is where fellowship should happen. This is where we talk to each other. This is where we remind each other, you're not an idiot for being a Christian. Okay? And when you feel discouraged, it's like, it's okay, I understand. But you know what? If something awesome happens, yesterday as we were sharing, it's kind of cool, Lauren said, there's this one friend I have that I've been praying for, and it's crazy that that person came up to me later and said, you know what? I just have a desire to go to church. Like, out of nowhere. Like, who does that? And then we're out there witnessing yesterday, and who does she run into? Same person. Well, that's crazy. Well, God is in the middle of that. So God answers prayers, even real time. But then, fellowship is what we do together. And then witnessing or sharing Christ, that is a part of our life. So, in terms of sharing the truths that we know with other people, those are the four key parts. The outer ring is obedience. The only way this ever moves anywhere is you are obedient to do the things that God's told you to do. So that's how you move forward in the Christian life. So here's my question to you. Which of those spokes is really small? And which of those spokes is really long? Wheels don't work really well if you have like one long one and three short ones. It kind of bumps a lot. You can't get a lot of speed going. You know what I'm saying? Or if two are, it's really a rocky ride. And God's goal for you is to say, I want you to be strong in your ability to communicate with me in prayer. I want you to develop and have the boldness, but also be equipped to know, how do I share my faith with other people? That's what He wants for you, and that's how you're going to grow. So, with that as an understanding, we're going to talk this week about the Word of God. And you might think, okay, well, what are you going to tell me about the Word of God that I don't know? Well, hopefully I'll tell you some things that will help you realize why you need it. So, moving forward. Hold on to that verse thought, okay? Ways to take in the Word of God. How are you supposed to process the word? What is your role in that? The first one is hearing. Okay? The first one is hearing. It's what you're doing right now. Okay? It's the easiest. It's the most natural. God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But God's warning in terms of how you hear the word, He says, be careful how you listen. Because most people listen casually, almost like they're, at a buffet, and they're like, ah, that didn't taste so good. I don't really want that. I don't like that. I like that. I don't like that. And we don't realize if it's God's word, He says, listen to everything I say. Take it in and do something with it. Realize it's not my suggestions. I'm really trying to speak to you. So be careful how you listen. Matthew 7:21, listen to this. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. What does that tell us? There are people that will go to heaven thinking they are going to go to heaven and stay there, but when they meet the Lord, God will in effect say, I never had that relationship with you. I never knew you. You did religious things, but you never accepted me. And so He says one way that we know that we've done that is how we respond to His word. Do we do what He says? But He goes on, keep that thought and see where He goes with it. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, so hears, puts into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. How hard is it to build your house on top of a rock? Easy or hard? Hard. When we built this church, one thing that we knew is we are really not that far from a quarry. A quarry is where you get rocks. Therefore, we knew we'd have a lot of rocks under this ground. Do you know where we got the rocks that are outside this building? On this property. And there were a lot of them. It's a crazy amount. But once you dig into rock, you have a foundation that will never be shaken. And that's what God says. Hearing and doing is just like digging into rock. It's very hard. For you to change the way you think, the way you act, your habits, it's not easy. But God says if you listen and just obey him, he will dig into your life that way. But most of us don't go there. And then he says, the rain comes down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on rock. But everyone who hears the words that I give them but does not put them into practice. You hear, but you don't ever do it. And here's a problem. I think as believers, sometimes we think if we hear it and we know it, it's just like we do it. Like I know it, but it means nothing to me if I don't do it. Knowledge doesn't equal obedience. James says faith without works is dead. So don't kid yourself that I know the right answers. If you're not doing the right answers, it really is meaningless to you. It's just as though you didn't know them. And he then goes on and says, that man is like a man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell with such a great crash. If you build our life in sand, which is easy, I just do what I want, it doesn't hold up. And life gets hard really fast. So that's what the whole thing about hearing is. How are you doing in your hearing? There's a lot of different ways you can hear. I would challenge you to go with your parents, especially over the summer, to the 9 o'clock service and hear Pastor Mike. He is your pastor. You need to hear him. Coming to AM Gap, our goal here is to teach you, just like Big Church. I'd love you to be here. We'd love to have the opportunity to teach you. Other ways, shepherd group, you hear the word of God there. Your shepherd group leaders are trying to help you hear it and then even apply it. There's another way that didn't used to be there, and that is on the internet. There's some incredible speakers on the internet that if you guys have the ability to download, you can listen to. I know for me, Andy Stanley and Louis Giglio are guys that I love to listen to. They're awesome. But there's tons more. And your parents can help you find those. But the question is, do you really want to hear? Do you want that? The last and most important way to hear is the Holy Spirit inside you. We want to help you learn to listen to that voice inside you. And usually you hear it best when you're reading the Word of God and it goes, yep, agree, right there. When I was a freshman at William & Mary, Proverbs 4:23 jumped out at me like he was talking to me. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I knew at that moment my life could have gone anywhere. My heart could have, where I gave my heart to a girl or not, to a cause, to pursue money, to be known. My life would be radically different right now depending on where I did. I'm here because of the choices of my heart. And your heart is going to lead you as well. So, lastly, hearing is a milk level. So this is the starting point. Secondly, is how do you read? Okay? On your thing there, it should talk about, I think it just has R, but reading. Reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is awesome. So where do you start? I know some people start ambitiously and say, I'm going to read the whole Bible. Well, that's really good, but sometimes it just doesn't work out and you feel like, oh, I'm a failure. I would challenge you, if you want to begin to read the Word of God, I would just pick one book and I would just read a little bit every day. Because it's not a race. But you do need to let God talk to you. That is the easiest way for God to talk to you. But I would read it slowly, but you need to know where you're going to go. You need to have a plan. But here's my throw out to you. If you have little time, then I would challenge you in terms of all the things you read, I would read the Bible first. And you need to know that reading the Bible will be a hard thing because it's a spiritual thing and your flesh doesn't want it. But I'll talk a little bit later how that works, okay? But I would encourage you when you read the Bible to do what I didn't think you were ever supposed to do, is to underline in your Bible. How many of you guys underline things when you read the Bible? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you use highlighters? All right. These are the creative ones then amongst us. How many of you go so far as to even draw lines from one thing to other when you see that? All right. I'm liking that. That's cool because that means you're actually getting into it. And it'll blow you away. You read a lot of Paul stuff and it's like a very long run-on sentence. So you need some of that. Like to go, yeah, that's where it's going. Or you'll never get it. It's crazy. The thing that you know, I would challenge you to be literate in the Word of God. If you claim to be a Christian, you need to kind of know what's in there. You need to know Old and New Testament. What does that mean? You need to know, like, if somebody said to you, you know, the first five books of the Bible, they're really unique. Why? You know, in the New Testament, when you break that out, you know, there's the Gospels. Why are there four of them? There's a good reason, actually. And then why are there so many letters to places? I know some people have never read Philemon. You know, they might. You could probably say, have you ever read Philemon? Yeah, it's in the Bible. It's right there. It's only one chapter. They probably wouldn't know what you're talking about. But do you know your Bible just to know how to get around? I would read until you know it because you need to know the Bible. But here's the cool and crazy thing. If you guys in the back would move me up to Hebrews 4:12. There we are. You know this, but take this seriously. For the Word of God is living and active. You know what that means? Have you ever listened to your Bible breathe? It doesn't actually breathe. You can make it sound like it, though. The crazy thing about the Bible is that it is alive. Have you ever felt like you were dead and you just had no desire, no drive? Well, a good thing for people to do when they're dead is to let living things start having an impact on their life. And that's why we need to read the Word of God, because it is alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. It cuts. The Bible can cut, and actually a lot of Christians use the Bible as a weapon against other people, and that's not good. Yesterday, one of the things that really helped us as we went out witnessing is I've talked to our team, and I said, you know what? You have to be very humble, because if you can create a setting where they feel comfortable talking to you, that's an amazing thing. Most people who don't know Christ should never trust someone who comes up and goes, hey, I want to talk about the Bible. Why? Because you know enough to make them feel stupid. You can mess with them. And that's territory. They don't talk about the Bible that much. But you know what's really cool is when they feel like you're humble and you're like, I just want to know what you think. And they start coming out and they tell you what you think. You know, that couple I talked to you about, some of the things the guy said at the end, it was like, all I want to do is go, that is so stupid. Seriously, I mean, he said some really stupid things. And I'm like, okay, interesting. You know, like he said, the Bible was just made up recently. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. So at the end, I just said, you know what? If you have a desire to know more, I would just throw it out there. If that's ever a desire, I think you'll find, if you study it, the way the Bible came together was actually kind of radical. And I said, you know, I had a friend of mine who was a prof at a college, and he taught statistics, and he told his class, take these five prophecies that are written 300 years before Jesus ever arrived, and he said, okay, give me the statistical probability that it could ever happen, and it was this, you know, long number, and that was his way to witness to these brainy, smart mathematicians, and they're like, dude, that's crazy. But I told the guy, you know what, you might want to consider that. But you know, if you do that, people will talk to you about it. And that's what's really cool. But it is alive, and it can cut us. And that's what we really need. Some of us need to bleed. Some of us have got a hand against God, and we're like, God, I don't want you to deal with my life. And God's going to cut you in the sense of he's going to separate the reasons you have for not following him and open up for you to see, wow, that's really where I'm at. But he divides your soul and your spirit, the thoughts, intents of your heart. And he says, this is where you're at. Do you want to move on? And he says, yes, and you can. So that is reading. And the interesting thing about reading is you're moving beyond a milk level, which is really awesome. And then there's meditating and memorizing. I wrote down there on your sheet, to define that is to think deeply about, to focus on, pore over with the help of the Holy Spirit to the point that it is understood and applied. Meditating is not enough to get deep thoughts and go, that's really cool. You know, like we used to do this thing when we did outreaches. It was called deep thoughts. And they'd be pithy statements, you know, like really deep things like, do not spit into the wind when driving your car. It's the truth. You know, like, who cares? You know, meditating is you are really trying to pull apart. And here's a really gross example. How many stomachs does a cow have? Four. Isn't that crazy? Why do you need four? And how does it know which one to go? It's like that really makes you wonder. But the weird and gross thing about it is a cow will chew and it'll go down to one stomach. And then they will back up, round two, chew on it some more. Round three. You never knew that, did you? Round four. Okay, by round four, it is so ground up, it's getting into this blood system really well. That's meditating. You need to chew on the Word of God and rest a little around. Okay, you ready to meditate? Okay, hold on. John 3:16. Okay, you lock it in. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Stop and answer this question quietly for yourself. What is the key word in that verse? Just don't say it. What's the key word in that verse? Okay? Dan Locke, what's yours? Oh, come on. I told you to think about it. Okay, well, keep thinking. Who's got one? Who's got one for me? Yeah. Love? Awesome verse. Word. So. Another one. You got a different one? Who's got a different word in there? Yeah.
Whosoever.
Awesome. Yeah. Gave. Okay?
Believe.
Everlasting life. Stolen. Okay. You know what mine is? Yeah. What's yours? Only. You know what you just did? You meditated. You took it. You evaluated it. You separated it. You prioritized and said, I think that's the word that really helps that verse come alive. For me, it's so. It's crazy to me that God would love us that much. There's no reason why God would ever do what he did. None. It's the exact opposite of what he should do, but he did it anyway, and I don't get it. But his love is so crazy cool. And some of you maybe have not caught that yet. The Trinidad team was away. We saw this video by Louis Giglio, and he talked about this one verse where it says, where it talks about if we're out of our mind, as believers, we should be out of our mind sometimes, just going like, you know what, it doesn't make any sense. And you only get there when you realize how bad you are. You are all really bad people. And so am I. We're really wicked. I am not kidding. If we portrayed our thoughts from this last week, we would all be like, whoa, I'm out of here. But God loves us. And it doesn't make sense. And he pursues us. That doesn't make sense. And he forgives us. That is absolutely unthinkable. But he does. You've just meditated. And I encourage you to keep meditating. In Proverbs, it talks about that process of meditating being digging and for wisdom. And it says you need to dig for it just like as for hidden treasure. It needs to be that important. So how do you do it? I would encourage you to take just small portions. I would actually challenge you to take a verse a day, write it on a 3x5 card, and just think about it through the day. I would love for one of you to do it this week and come back to me next Sunday and tell me what one verse stood out to you. So take that on. I would love to hear back from you. That's for you to do if you want. There's an illustration, a hand illustration, that actually uses all the different parts of taking the word. Okay, so hearing, reading, memorizing. I'm forgetting one. Huh? Study. Exactly. You know what the thumb is? The thumb is meditating, because that's where you can grip. That's how you get a grip on the Word of God. Okay? God's amazing promise. Go next. On the screen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's God's desire. He wants you to meditate, us to meditate day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water and yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. But notice what it says. Whatever he does prospers. God doesn't say, and as long as you do God's stuff, I'll help you out. He says, whatever he does prospers. How can he make that promise? Because real meditation, like I said, it's digging into where you really understand it, and then it shows up in your life. And if you let God get his word into your life, the point where it shows up, then you are letting him lead you. And he knows his greatest desire is to bless you. But he says, as you do that, I will prosper what you do, because what you do will be exactly what I have built you to do, and I'll lead you to do. The question is, will you do that? Meditation is a big deal. And I would challenge you to make it a big deal in your life. Last thing is studying. How many of you all did Awanas growing up? Awesome. Now, you should have corrected me. It's not Awanas, right? It's Awana, right? I always get in trouble for that. All right, next verse. This is one that should look fairly familiar. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. God says you need to be a student. It's not enough to read it. It's not enough to hear it. Even when you meditate on it, what's going to happen is things will come up and you go, I don't get that. What language is the New Testament written in? Greek. So when you read your English Bible, it's a translation from the Greek. Do you know what? If you're really going to study it, sometimes it will push you to go, what word, what in the world does that mean? And what you're really going to do is you're going to use some study helps that will help tell you, well, in Greek, this is what that word meant. You know, the crazy thing is God waited until a time in the Greek language. Greek is, and I actually studied Greek. I can read not really well anymore because I haven't practiced it a lot, but I can do okay in a Greek New Testament. The amazing thing about Greek is it's a very expressive language. The word love has at least four different definitions. So in English, you read love, it could be agape, it could be eros, it could be phileo. Okay? So as you study, you're trying to go, well, what is this? Now, the cool thing I want you to know about studying the Bible, it doesn't have to get complicated. The Bible is its best dictionary and its best commentary. There's a way to look in the Bible and to take a word and you find that word and you go, okay, where is that same exact word used? And you start seeing the context of those and you go, oh, I get that. Okay? You just need to pursue it that way. Your tools, they're awesome tools, Bible handbook, atlas, dictionary, interliterary, systematic theology, and all this other stuff. But you just need to, if you simply took the cross-reference notes in your Bible where it says, you know, those little things like another place in the Bible, you know, look up John 1:10. That's a good tool. Okay? And then there's all kinds of stuff online. But in terms of studying, things you need to know, you need the Holy Spirit. You cannot study it without the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12, you know, basically says, the only way we'll get the mind of God is if God himself tells us. I would challenge you that you need to wrestle through hard things that are meat. You know, things like forgiveness. How does it ever make sense to forgive somebody who's wronged you so badly? Well, you better get in the Word of God and find out. Predestination. It's what some people just love to talk about all the time. It's not the only thing in the Bible. But do you understand it? You need to. Eternal security. There are many believers who aren't sure if they can lose their salvation. You need to study that one out. You need to know. Prophecy. What is going to happen in the end times? This could very well be the end times. You better know what's going to happen. Have you ever looked that up? Beyond Leading. How many of you read, what was that series? Left Behind. How many of you read Left Behind? Okay. I want to throw it out to you. You need to keep studying. That's not the final thing. You might want to keep going. Okay? But here's what you don't want to do. Ephesians 4 says, talking about people who, like you, didn't study. It says, no longer tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. What does that mean? It means there's teachers in Christian churches, and even this one, even me, you need to take everything you hear and take it back to the Word of God and not assume, oh, well, that just must be right. I'm not infallible. Neither is anyone else. And you need to know the Word well enough to go, okay, that is what the Bible's teaching. Okay? All right, evaluation time. On your sheet at the bottom there, I gave you those four categories, hearing, reading, meditating, and studying. I want you to take a moment, just a moment. The first column is, do you now? Are you now regularly hearing, reading, meditating, or studying? Just circle yes or no. The next to it is, okay, let's say you wanted to. Let's say that's something you want to move forward in. What would be your plan? Just jot down anything you've learned from today that, okay, that could be my plan. And then how often do you want to do it? What's your goal? Just take like 2 minutes. Think that one through, and then we're done. Okay, table leaders, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. At your table, I want to hear this question. Is really, what did you hear today that you learned? What did you learn out of what we said today? So dive in at your tables, and then I will close. All right. For those of you who, like, hate missing details. Okay, there's two blanks on your page, right? Right. Okay. Shh. There are two things that are whole other subjects we could talk about, but if you want to understand where are you in the Word of God, there's two things that you could look at. One is passion. When you read Psalm 119, David made statements like, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on your law all day long. Your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, and they're ever before me." Your passion for the Word works exactly opposite of the way our human one does. If you eat, you are not hungry. If you don't eat spiritually, you won't be hungry. The only way you get hungry spiritually is by eating. Eating spiritually makes you more hungry. So if you feel like, "Oh, I just don't like reading," I would challenge you, push yourself and say, "God, I want you." God will meet you there. And when you start realizing that the Word of God is alive, you'll want more. Second word is obedience. The bottom line is, it doesn't really matter how much we know if we don't do it. I would start, here's something I want you just as a mental picture. When it says the Word of God is like a lamp unto our feet, picture a very dark place. And as they would do it, they would hold a lantern out to see what was in front of them. If each step is really a step of obedience, which moves that light just a little bit further, and every step allows you to see a little bit further down the road. So if you're like, "I'm not going to take any more steps," you won't see any further down. But each step you take will take you further where you'll see what that next step should be. That's why it's important not to take God's word seriously. It's not God's suggestions. It is God's word, and you need to treat it like that. So if you'll stand and hold hands with the person next to you, I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we stop right now, and we thank you that you're a God who communicates. I thank you that you don't hide yourself from us, but Lord, you do speak to us. And God, I pray if there's anyone here who has never heard your voice telling them how much you love them, that you have died for them personally and offer them the free gift of eternal life, Lord, I pray they'd hear you now and by their own choice say, "I want that." And God, for those of us who have taken that step, who do know you and you've come inside and your Holy Spirit desires so much to be in ongoing communication with us, Lord, I pray we would not grieve your Holy Spirit and tell him no again and again and again. But God, wherever we're at right now, God, I pray we confess to you our need for you and that you'd help us begin to walk. And God, help us to hear you. Help us to read and let you speak to us. Lord, help us to study, to meditate, to memorize, to really drill down, dig down, so we can find the things that we absolutely need. God, become our passion. May we yield to you in obedience. God, I pray for the week ahead of us. I pray for those who are still in school. Lord, give them grace in the things that they need to accomplish. Give them eyes to see needs around them. And God, I pray as we gather on Friday to bless our seniors, I pray that you would be clearly demonstrated there. And we pray this and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.